I'm Kyle Kachadorian.
And you're listening to another episode of The Accessible Stall.
What are we going to talk about, Emily?
I have a story to tell you.
I love a good story time episode.
I've been thinking about it for a while, and I don't really know what to make of it. So maybe you and our fine listeners can help me sort through my thoughts on this. They can't see
me strapping in.
He just gave a thumbs up. They can't.
And I strapped in with an imaginary seatbelt.
Okay, so I was at Penn Station a couple weeks ago, as you do. And I was sitting right next to a gentleman who was using a hospital type wheelchair. And I don't know how to say this tactfully, but I believe he is homeless because I've seen him around Penn Station before. And I know that he's not always super clean, unfortunately, or doesn't have access to clean clothes. So I'm venturing a guess here that he's homeless. And I hate to judge people on appearance, but I think it's relevant to the story. So he was right next to me, pretty much, maybe like a foot back behind me. And I'm waiting for the train to be announced. And he's asking several people who are passing by if they will please help him with his tote bag. All he wants is for someone to hang his tote bag off the back of his wheelchair. And he asks so many people who completely ignore him, don't look him in the eye, won't help him at all. So he kind of backs up a little bit. And he didn't directly ask me, and I hesitated. I wasn't really sure if I should offer my assistance. And I think I had some kind of mental block because I was like, well, I'm in a wheelchair and he's in a wheelchair. So maybe he's not asking me for assistance because he doesn't think that I can help him. And I don't know if I should offer help because I don't know how I would feel if I was in that situation. But anyway, so he backed up kind of into the middle of the hallway and he started again asking passersby. And maybe like two or three more minutes passed and no one helped him. And so I finally went up to him and offered assistance. And it took me exactly 30 seconds to hang his tote bag off the back of his wheelchair and communicate with him to make sure that it was adjusted so that it wouldn't rub up against his wheel. All this gentleman wanted help with was a bag. He wasn't asking people for money. He wasn't harassing anyone. But it just really bothered me watching how many people refused to help him. And I think the reason that it bothered me is because I've been in that situation before. And I've asked a stranger, like, oh, hey, can you just help me with my tote bag? And they will. And there's something in here that I can't quite figure out about the dichotomy between, you know, a white woman in an expensive looking power wheelchair. And then this was an older black gentleman in a hospital wheelchair. And one of us being able to get help just for asking and the other one being ignored several times. And then the only other wheelchair user in the area being the one who ultimately offers the wheelchair user help. And I feel like there's a lot of layers here. This feels like an onion to me, or maybe I'm making too big a deal out of it, but it just really stuck with me. So that was the longest story ever and clocks in at like 5 years. So anyway, the end.
5 minutes, 5 years, give or take. You know, the first thing that I'm going to tell you is that you said this is like an onion rather than saying there's a lot to unpack here. So are you changing it up for 2020, or is this just particularly oniony?
This one feels particularly oniony, but wow, you're so right. And I feel called out. There's a lot to unpack here.
No, fair enough. God, I'm trying to think if anything similar, because I want to throw a wrench into this, has happened to me. I will say that I am not helped on public transportation more than I am helped when I need it. And I think that's because I don't look as disabled as you. I don't think I don't look disabled, but next to you, I don't. And I think if you're just glancing at me, I probably don't. But I remember 2 or 3 years ago, I was on a subway train and it broke so bad that it made the news. And I was on that train and there were no free seats. And all I wanted to do was sit down and nobody got up. Nobody. And I became that exact kind of person on the train that I hate. At first, I just started asking like normally, like politely. And then after like the fifth person, I was like, I've had enough of this. And I was like, can anybody get up for me, please? I really need, you know, and eventually somebody did. And it was only one person. And I never forgot that. But there has also been times on the train where I need to sit down and there are no seats, but there's like a really large gentleman standing next to me. And I tell him like, hey, can I like lean on you? Because I need to. Thanks. And they've said yes. But I mean, that's obviously not the same thing, but it is interesting to see what people are willing to do and not do when all you need is nothing. You know, that man needed 30 seconds of your time. Do you know what I mean? Or somebody's time. And as far as the dynamics between you being a young white girl and this guy being an older black gentleman, not to mention the appearance of homelessness versus your, I assume, non-appearance of homelessness. Yeah, that is certainly very oniony.
It just bothered me in so many ways. You know, if we look at it just from the perspective of the fact that the only other visibly disabled person was the one to help the visibly disabled person. And although you can't separate race and disability, and I'm not trying to do that, but I want to look at it kind of layer by layer. And I want to think about it first on the level of like wheelchair user to wheelchair user. I very frequently have helped other wheelchair users and had other wheelchair users and other disabled people help me. And I don't think there's anything weird about it. But there was something very interesting to me about the fact that he did not ask me for help. He was very willing to accept it when I finally went over and offered it. But I was sitting right there the whole time as he was asking people who were walking by for assistance. And not once did he direct that question at me.
Do you think, I guess it's part of the same thing, but do you think that was more rooted in like the ableism that is more pity focused? Like, oh, I don't want to burden this other poor disabled person. Or do you think that was ableism rooted in the like, I don't want this to look like a circus type thing?
Yeah, I feel like it might have been the circus thing that almost internalized ableism.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have that too, or much less so. I remember several years ago when a big circus group of us went to, I think it was the Real Abilities Film Festival. Is that right? It was like a big old group of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like that was a big circus, us trying to get on the subway.
But you see, like, I'm like that, and it's totally a little bit of internalized ableism, but I don't know about you, but I have, like, a threshold where if there's more than some amount of circus going on, I start to really love it.
Now I do, too. You yeah. also went to school at a very
Yeah, that's true. I'm very 24/7. Desensitized to it. Yeah.
Like, you were so used to being around disabled people all the time, whereas for the longest time, I loved the idea of being around all disabled people, but only when we were hidden away at summer camp and not out in the real world.
Right. Don't want anyone to see what freaks you are.
Especially not a group of freaks. Oh, my God.
No, I mean, I'm saying that in jest, but like that's kind of, I mean, at yeah. least for me, that's what the feeling was.
Yeah, but not anymore. Now I don't care. No. Bring it on. Yeah. Like, the more wheelchair users taking up space, the better. the mm-hmm. more people using white canes and crutches and walkers, like, take that space up.
You know, hearing you tell that story, like, I feel a little uncomfortable now. And not because you helped somebody. Just nobody was willing to help him.
That was the bigger issue.
That really bothers me. And because I know I would have done it. And I know that's easy for me to say, saying it, sitting here now listening to you. But I really would have helped him, you know? Like, it's yeah. so, I wouldn't even think about it.
And I think the thing that bothered me the most, and I have had this happen to me too, perhaps on a much different level, but this literal cloak of invisibility almost. It's like, heaven forbid you don't present as a certain type of person. It's like people see right through you, don't even hear that you were asking for assistance. Interestingly, after I assisted him and was about to go catch my train, he was holding his coat in his hand and it fell on the floor. And he asked a woman to help him pick it up. And she helped him pick it up. And something to me just says, you know, no one could be bothered to take 2 seconds to listen to him when he was trying to explain what he needed help with, because it wasn't obvious that he needed help with the tote bag. But you see a coat on the floor, it's more obvious. You don't have to do any listening. You just know.
And it's also like, I almost want to say that it's like a fear to help because you're afraid that you might do the wrong thing. But the reason I don't want to posit that, although I do enough to want to bring it up, is that people love to help us all the time without any asking or prompt whatsoever. So it's a bit weird when somebody's literally asking for it and everyone has something better to do. And I appreciate that they were in a train station, you know, and it's always busy, but still.
Yeah, there was something about the visual of this gentleman sitting in the middle of the train station, literally just wanting a bag handle on his wheelchair handle and still not getting the help that he asked. And I feel guilty for not just offering help right away. But I was having my own internalized ableist conversation with myself.
Do I help him? Do I not help him? Is it weird if I help him? Right?
Yeah. And what a ridiculous conversation to be having with myself. I'm sitting there. Why isn't he asking me? I'm right here. I can help him. If I needed help, I would ask him, you know. But you're also absolutely right. The point that you made about the fact that people are willing to foist their help upon us when we don't want it, but heaven forbid you ask.
To be fair, though, those are usually in what they perceive as obvious situations, too. So you're also still right that, like, it's usually holding a door open or something. But still, I feel like if you're willing to do that where it's obvious, it's not that much effort to take 30 seconds out of your day to listen to what they might need. Because, I mean, they know what they need. They'll tell you. They know you don't know, right? So
I also have these visions of some kind of social experiment where you have me on one side of the train station asking people for help, and then this gentleman on the other side of the train station, and see how people react differently. And I'm 100% sure it will prove that white privilege is a thing, but
I mean, I don't think our listeners need proof, but in case you do, no, that's like, next time you see him, you should bring that up. I bet. It's like, what would you do? That show where,
yeah,
people don't do anything.
Yeah, but then you also have the people who get really, really worked up and freak out and immediately jump to the person's aid. It's like, there's no in between. It's either people are like very impassioned about how we must help this person, or they ignore it.
Now, I know that you said there's obvious like layers here and intersections, and I know that this is an onion that we're taking layer by layer, but
that we're unpacking.
I think what you just said applies only or very mostly to disability. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think that the whole all or nothing when it comes to help is something that is uniquely us. I will say it that way.
For sure. But I also think that race plays into how all or nothing things can get.
Oh, of course. Oh, yeah.
And it really makes me wonder, gosh, this is going to sound so cliche. Why can't we all just help each other? But when asked, or, you know, when it's really needed or prompted, why is it so hard to take 30 seconds to stop and help someone?
Because homeless people are mean and scary and I don't like them. It's really like that, you know, but like, that's what it is. Like, what else is it?
I don't know that this is totally related, but on the flip side, there was a homeless trans person, and I know they were trans because their sign said so, that they were holding.
And their sign said so? Oh.
They right, had, you know, like they had a cardboard sign and it said something about them being a trans person. And as I was rolling by, they specifically said, watch out for this big crack in the sidewalk. And they were absolutely right. There was a huge crack that my wheel would have gotten stuck in. And I thought that was incredibly kind of them to say that to me. And I actually turned around, went back and gave them a little money. And it was a freezing cold night. And I said, you know, I can't do much, but please go get hot chocolate, do something. I don't know. You know, I just want to say thank you. That was very kind of you to look out for me while I was rolling by. And I feel like this is the least I can do. And this is not super related to what happened in the train station, but it also kind of makes me think, you know, there's this flip side where homeless people are willing to help other people, but we're not willing to take 5 seconds.
I would say they are. And I think this is about to become Homeless People Are Awesome with Kyle and Emily, because I have stories too. In fact, I've got two just right off the top of my head.
Yeah, I want to hear this because I'm curious. Although I will say, I want to hear your stories, but there's a flip side to the flip side. Like we're flipping a lot of stuff here, but
triangular dice.
Sometimes I have the opposite of that happen. And instead of a homeless person, like extending that level of kindness to me, I'll have homeless people be near me, ask everyone around me for money and not ask me.
Oh yeah, that happens. I usually get asked, but like, yeah, whenever I'm with you or anyone who doesn't look typical, I like able-bodied, I guess, whatever that means.
Yeah, it's like people asking for directions. They'll ask everyone around me, but they won't ask me. Anyway, so it's very nuanced and complicated, and I don't know that I have answers. I just know that this is a lot to think through. So I want to hear your stories about helpful homeless people.
I've got two. One is more, well, when we were coming home from Virginia, we took that Amtrak train into Penn Station. It was like 1 a.m, and I needed to get home because I was very tired.
That was a great time.
Yes, it was. I had my giant suitcase, my laptop bag. Everything was heavy, and I wanted to get a cab. And I walked up the stairs from Penn Station, and I stood in a corner. And I stood there for a few minutes, and a voice from the night said that I was going to have trouble getting a cab and that I should try to take the train. And I was like, yeah, whatever. You know, I ignored it at first. But then he, like, came up to me, and he was like, I'm serious. You're going to have a really hard time getting a cab. And I was like, okay, you know, and I'm going to tell you right now, I was a little spooked because it was dark and this man came right up to me without any provocation whatsoever. And he was very clearly homeless because he told me. And I was like, all right, this is going to be a problem because I had my own little preconceived notions. But I told him, I was like, hey, I really need to take a cab. There's no way I can take this all on the train. And I just said that like as a throwaway comment, you know, trying to sort of like ease the situation. And this guy sprinted out into the street, into oncoming traffic, because of course he did, like, you know, and he got a cab to stop. He made the cabbie pop his trunk. He picked up I didn't ask him to do any of this. He picked up my luggage, put it in the back of the cab, And he made the cabbie roll down his window and he said, take him home. His legs are effed up. He needs help getting into this cab. And I guess he saw me climb the stairs or something. And I didn't even know what to say except for thank you. And he told me his name was Paul and to like tell my dad happy Father's Day because it was Father's Day.
Paul!
I know, right? What a guy.
I remember this story now, but yep. Now that you're telling me again, it's in like vivid detail. And
then,
wow.
And then the other time, it was another time I was with you and it was very dark and I was walking either to the train station or to a cab or whatever. And I tripped over this homeless woman and I felt really bad because I just didn't see her.
I remember this.
And she apologized to me. And I was like, why are you saying sorry? Like, I hurt you by mistake. Like, what? No, like, I'm sorry. And then some random, I'm going to call her a Karen, came up to me and she asked me if I was okay because she saw me, like, trip over this lady. And she was like, that woman was such an idiot. And I was like, no, she was really nice. And she was just being there. What is it? Like, it was just such a bigot. Like, it was, like, the worst thing. But, yeah, those are my two stories.
Yeah, I definitely remember both of those. And the intersection of homelessness and race and disability, and then the interactions between disabled people and homeless people, whether or not they have a disability, it's really interesting to me. There's a lot of complicated dynamics there. I mean, in reference to what I was saying before, sometimes I honestly feel like there are homeless people I've encountered who seem to think that I'm less privileged than them in some way, and therefore they shouldn't bother me for money.
Mm-hmm. Well, otherwise, why wouldn't they ask you? I think that somewhere in their head they do think that.
Meanwhile, I recognize that maybe I'm less physically privileged than them, but certainly I'm more financially privileged and housing privileged, and I want to help where I can, but it feels weird when I'm not asked. It's like, oh, my money? You don't want my money? Okay. And I know that's like such an awful thing to say because, of course, they don't want to be asking for anyone's money.
No, but then, but you also are, I don't want to speak for you, but like, I know when it's me, like, I don't want to be presumptuous and assume they need it. Like, that could just be a guy for all I know.
Right. But I'm talking about when it's a crowded area.
Oh, yeah.
Specifically, if I pass by a homeless person, I'm not just going to like make assumptions about what someone who is not me needs in their
right,
life.
Right. I know. I didn't mean to.
When they
that.
Specifically come up to you, like people have asked Eli, but not me.
Yeah, see, that to me is very strange. There's something that they think about you that even though they're in what I would call dire financial straits, you're not worth asking.
Yeah. So it's an interesting situation to be in. And I don't know if I even have any conclusions about this, if I'm being quite honest. I just feel like it's something that people don't really talk about, the interesting privilege dynamics at play and the ableism, both internal and external, that comes into play around these kinds of interactions. And at the end of the day, I'm glad that I helped the guy with his tote bag, because quite frankly, I think it made sense to have another wheelchair user helping him, because most of the time when I have non-wheelchair users who help me, they don't get that there's a certain way to put the bag on so that it doesn't run against the wheel.
Yeah, there you go. You were his little bit of relief. He didn't have to explain it to you.
And he was like super nice and said thank you. And so it was like a fine interaction, but it's gonna stick with me for a while, largely because I think other people suck and I really wish that someone would have just provided assistance when asked.
It's so easy not to suck. It's unbelievable. And again, I know this is a train station. It's like the one area that's like famously full of homeless people, and also famously like you got to keep your guard up because there are also like a bunch of thieves and pickpockets around. Not that Penn Station is like the most dangerous place ever, but it's a place where you know, got to be careful. But I just can't imagine if all the man wanted was his bag picked up from the floor or put in his wheelchair or something. Like, that bothers me. I don't know.
You know what's funny? Sometimes I'll be sitting and waiting either for like you to get off the train or Eli to get off the train or a friend or whatever. And I'll just be sitting minding my own business and people will approach me and ask if I need help. So, and I'm like, what about me suggests to you that I need help? I'm not asking. I don't look like I'm in distress. You know?
See, that points, like, now I would say that the situation in your story points more, well, at least a little bit more to racism, or at least to anti-homelessness or something. Because if
racism, ableism, yeah.
Yeah.
A big old party of the two.
Well, just because, you know, that's what you guys have in common is you're both wheelchair users. So if perfect strangers come up to you and ask you if you need help when you don't, then that has less.
But avoid him at all costs.
Yeah, I would say that means that has a little bit less to do with why they were avoiding him. I mean, obviously, I'm pulling this right out of my butt. I could totally be wrong. But, like, yeah, that's so terrible, though.
No, it makes a lot of sense. And I don't want to be cheesy, but my takeaway really is just take 5 seconds and help people. But I guess my other takeaway is don't underestimate other people's ability to help you.
Right. And you know, like, well, I'm making this up, but like, there's a mother and a small child who saw you do that, who saw like the wheelchair lady help the poor wheelchair man, and like was like, oh, you see, this is why you should be good in the world. Like,
probably, right? I'm sure. But meanwhile, that person wasn't on the evening news.
I was going to say that before, but I didn't want you to get mad at me.
I'm not mad at you.
I was literally going to say that exact thing. I'm like, why hasn't ABC run a story? I was prepared for that.
Oh, my God. No, but really, that is exactly the kind of
thing. Yeah, that would be on the news. Yeah.
I love that you didn't say it because you thought I would get mad at you. No, but it's so true.
Oh, my God. I love that you did say it because it finally got it out. It's exactly what would be on the news. I wish it was. We'd have so much more to talk about. How nonsense. That you want to talk about layers? What kind of layer? Like a
that
whole
would be
crew
one
showed
thick
up?
Onion.
Yeah, but like you had a whole like camera crew show up, right? But no one picked up the bag, or like somebody was willing to film you picking up the bag but wouldn't pick it up themselves.
Is it terrible that I literally feel like that would happen? Or
No,
the news anchor would be like, can you just take that bag off and just do that again for the camera?
and then the guy would like get like upset and like swear at them because he has somewhere to be, and like now the anchor is left with like, oh, homeless people, right?
Cripples.
Yeah. Oh my God, I can totally like it's not that I can imagine it. I can like beyond imagine it.
I have the whole news story produced in my head.
Yeah, like I can see the Chiron and everything. Like,
and that's a problem.
Yeah, no, I know. That's a whole other episode.
Yeah, but it's, you know, like when those stories every once in a while go viral of like, nice young man helps person using a walker cross the street, or like, look at this food service worker assisting someone eating their dinner. Like, yeah. Oh my God. But if both people were in wheelchairs,
oh my god.
I think someone
get the head of ABC on the phone, because I've got an idea.
Hello, ABC. I have a story that'll warm the cockles of everyone's hearts.
Yeah. Now I know.
God, it is so bad how we can make fun of this, but it's super realistic. And if I had been in the right place at the right time and there was a camera crew there, that would have been viral. No, not a camera crew. Somebody with an iPhone.
Just a cell phone. Yeah.
What am I talking about? If that interaction had lasted a split second longer, somebody could have taken out their cell phone and started filming me.
I'm just saying, watch out, because
in why next was this week, not the point of the episode? Our episode right now. Why
did it take? We made another. We made more points. This was just a really good one.
Yeah. Oh, that bothers me on another God. Level that I hadn't even thought of. But it really bugs me.
Oh, man. I'm mad I kept that to myself. I swear. I had that all ready to go, man.
I'm sure you didn't know. I mean, it's an obvious thought. Like, I'm glad that we got it out in the open.
Oh, that is so bad that we can think about that.
That would make excellent satire if we ever get ourselves on YouTube.
Oh, my God. We should do that. I mean, it would be a little bit insensitive. But we've been making a larger point.
No, it's not insensitive, though.
No. I mean, if we were to act it out.
Oh. Yes.
But to your point, though, like, we still, like, we, that's a good idea.
Not that particular scenario, but.
No, I know.
There are plenty of plays on that scenario. Oh, my God. But literally, wheelchair-bound person helps other wheelchair-bound person.
No, you know what you should do? As the sad, pathetic, wheelchair-bound person should, like, sell lemonade to wipe out some 6-year-old's medical debt or lunch debt or something. And a local news station will really repackage that as, like, a feel-good story. And meanwhile, it's, like, the actual most depressing everything wrong with America in 5 minutes story.
And the only people who will be in line to buy my lemonade will be other disabled people.
Oh, yeah. With various disabilities that all have some effect on appearance, because that's all anyone cares about when it comes to feeling good about being disabled.
Of course.
Well, right.
See it to believe it.
Right.
According to the media. Wow.
God. Are we terrible or are we geniuses? I don't know.
No, I think we're realists who are conditioned to expect this kind of crap.
But so much that, like we could literally write the AP release. I mean, AP wouldn't run this, but, you know what I'm saying. Like, ugh.
Whew.
So my final takeaway is echoing your final takeaway, which is cheating. But honestly.
That's fine.
Can we just all be good to each other, please?
That doesn't seem so hard, does it?
And I know that sounded sarcastic, but, like, can we try it? If we don't like it, then we can go back to this. But, like, can we try it first? Just to see how it feels.
Oh, we can go back to being to each other?
Well, you know, because no one's ever tried being good all the time, so maybe it's the worst. But, no, I'm just playing. But, like, honestly, we should all be good to each other. That's my final takeaway.
I think that's a great takeaway. I think we should go with that.
This has been another episode of The Accessible Stall. I'm Kyle. She's Emily.
You know how you can support us?
How can we support us? They support us. We support they support us.
You can go to patreon.com/theaccessiblestall. Is it The Accessible Stall or just Accessible Stall?
It is The Accessible Stall.
As I was saying, patreon.com/theaccessiblestall. Even just $1 a month will help us continue to ensure that this podcast is accessible, and we will transcribe it so that everyone can enjoy it.
Plus, our transcriber really likes to eat.
Food is so good.
It's important to stay alive.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So let's support disabled people and be excellent to each other.
And might we say, you look great today.
Thanks so much for listening.
See you next time.
Bye.